While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Last week, obviously, there was a long gospel, and I gave the introduction and reminded people that there can be dangerous assumptions that when there's a long gospel, you think there's going to be a short homily, and that sometimes doesn't happen. But this week, we'll still try to keep it within a time frame that is conducive to helping us reflect and again try to understand the mystery of God and his works. But I want to begin with thinking of the first reading today, that line that Samuel had to be told and reminded, not as God sees, not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into his heart. And to think of Samuel, who was instructed by God to go anoint the next king because Saul, the first king of the Israelites, was not pleasing to God. And so he was sent to the household of Jesse, who had many sons. And as he was waiting with the feast to begin, thinking one of the sons is the person that he would anoint and be the next king, and none of them were suited as God thought. And then at the end, David was brought in, and then Samuel was instructed to anoint him. The sense of sight. Just think about our five senses for a moment. To be able to hear, to see, to feel, to touch, to taste. They are really gifts of God as we're created. These senses also give us a great help in trying to discover not only the mystery of faith, but really God's presence in our lives. And think of the many ways every day that we use our senses. You know, even last week, there was a sense of the woman at the well that she was thirsty and Jesus asked her for a drink. And think of today, the man who again is by the road or by some area where Jesus passed by. Neither one of these two people in the gospel stories really wanted or asked Jesus for anything. But he recognized their need and he responded. As I read the gospel story early in the week, I began to recall a young girl by the name of Mara. She was in one of my former parishes. As a baby, she was born blind. And I just can't help sometimes to think of what that would be like. But as a young girl, by the time I met her as pastor, she was 2 to 3 years old. She would come to Mass with her parents. And it was amazing to recognize that her other senses were truly sharper. So she would not only be able to hear and know things, but she then shared some of the things she learned. And on rare occasions, when I would be gone, right away when Mass would begin, she'd turn to her parents and say, "That's not Father Mark." And even sometimes when she would come up with her parents to receive the Eucharist, and she'd hear the words, "the body of Christ," she would say back when her mom or her dad received, "the body of Christ, Father Mark." It's kind of amazing to hear those words. But to think of how the senses can bring us into a deeper level of understanding, of knowing, and really kind of participating in mystery. Now, along with this long gospel, to realize how sacraments are gifts and really the gifts that Jesus gave to the church, that a lot of times the senses are really almost required for us to participate in them more fully. And to think of how we receive the Eucharist, how we receive anointings, how even baptism washes one's clean, that all these try to help us on a deeper level understand the mystery and presence of God's grace and his love. And so this long story in the gospel again reminds us about these dichotomies or opposites that are part of life. Good and evil, darkness and light, sin and grace, darkness and light, and how some things become known when we become more attuned to what we experience and what we might even encounter. You know, as the gospel unfolds, we know that Jesus truly utilize this man as he came to see with his own mind and heart who Jesus really was. Again, a story of not only conversion, but of deep awareness that Christ was really God's Son. And it's contrasted by the Pharisees and a few other observers who had eyes to see, but they were blind in their own hearts and minds, sometimes by their own jealousy, their pride, their arrogance. And yet Christ calls this man into the goodness of faith. When we think about light and darkness, though, I'll share with you a story that sometimes we can get so familiar with darkness that we don't maybe acknowledge what we're missing. You know, there's a saying by Matthew Henry that says, "There are none so blind as those who will not see," which means there's a resistance in us. But Christ tried to open that up, not only for the man, but even for the Pharisees and scribes who were judging him because he healed on Sabbath. He helped this man gain an incredible gift to be able to see, to acknowledge Christ and experience life in a whole different way. But years ago, also when I was pastor in one of the parishes, and to think I would have evening mass on Saturday night, that as the fall came upon us, that dark would come a little earlier. And it was my first couple months there, and I finally told the people, I said, this church is dark, and especially the sanctuary. And I want you to know that if I lose my place at Mass, we're going to have to start Mass all over again. And you know what happened the next week? There was light. There was new light fixtures, and the bulbs were larger and truly more powerful. But just think about the experience of light and what it does to us. But to think of our experience that sometimes certain things may blind us, and Christ wants us to be free of those things. But he also wants us to come to the light so that we can not only experience and encounter the depths of God's care for us, but again, him guiding us on the journey. On the journey through, many things that we encounter to say that God is with us. I want to end with two questions. So just to think as we contemplate this and know of St. Paul's invitation, even in the second reading, saying at the end, he encourages us to live as children of the light because that's what God has destined us to live by and with his light, with his wisdom and his truth. But two questions, just as you think about your Lenten journey and where you are today, do I know at times when I'm blind? And then secondly, how can I maybe move from darkness into light? And so again, to examine or think about your prayer life, maybe certain things that are really bothering you, or maybe certain sins or things that you're carrying with you. And again, to say, how can I allow Christ to set me free? Next week, we'll celebrate Communal Penance Service, an opportunity for us to celebrate God's forgiveness. But to think of Christ calling each one of us always into his light, into the place where we can know the glory of God, the kingdom that awaits us. Let us praise God and let us allow the Good Shepherd always to guide us on the path because he wants us to share truly in the land that is flowing with abundance of milk, honey, light, and love.